There's no better place than to be in the house of God, to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for a week that is gone. Another week has started this morning, and many people find themselves in different places. But here we are, right in his presence. Oh, grace is so sufficient for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, all that you have done for us the week that is past, Lord. In our homes, in our working places, our children to school and back, in our businesses, Lord, it has been your protection, your mercies, your grace, and above all, your loving kindness, Lord. And this morning, Lord Jesus, you have given us many mercies from our various homes, far and near. Lord, we thank you. And even, Lord, as we have come, God, we know it is you that has invited us, Lord. You have quickened us, Lord Jesus, this morning to be here. So, Lord, we know we will never go back the same. So, Lord Jesus, we come before humility also with reverence unto your name. As Lord Jesus, we have come, O God, we want to commit the Sunday schools, Lord, into your hands here and above, the infants and the youths, Lord. Father, we commit all into your hands. The Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit, O God, will just speak to us and teach us, Lord Jesus. We commit all into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we be seated? Oh, shall we stand for a moment? Shall we stand for a moment? Let me just read the scripture. We are back on our studies on Ephesian church. So we shall read the text, Revelation 2. We shall read not from the beginning, but from 4 to 6, where we are going to pick our subject this morning. Revelation 2, 4. Let's hear the word of God. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Amen. Shall we be seated? Yeah, we've already heard so much about the Church of Ephesus, how it has started really very well. It was a perfect church built upon strong principles and the teachings of the apostles, and Jesus even commended them. But we found out that something happened for them to abandon that first love. And they started drifting. It's serious, brethren, for a church to start so well and then begins to drift. See, and these are all what the work of the enemy, the spirit of the work of the enemy. So we are studying this critically, because we are also a church, and that spirit is still working against the house of God. So we take these things so seriously, because we don't want to allow any of that type of spirit to enter into our midst. Praise the Lord. So before we continue where we left off, I still want us all to take notice of this. We keep it in our hearts. we have the knowledge of it, because that is the core matter of it, that they left their first love. See, that was the beginning of everything. This is the first church age. And how they fell, we had to take notice of that seriously. Praise the Lord. That they left their first love. So let us look at how the prophet put the first love, leaving the first love, how he put it. We have been saying it all the time, but I want to repeat this morning before we go on, so that we keep this thing and just be watchful in our individual lives. Amen. The first love, leaving the first love, what it meant, the prophet put it this way. He said, the fervent desire to please God was no more. Let's keep these things. So individually, you watch yourself. Praise the Lord. It's a spirit. So the fervent desire to please God was no more, just drifting. Amen. And then he said, the passion to know his word. See, the passion to know his word also what? Drifting. And then the cry to reach out. See, the cry to reach out in the spirit, to reach out. See, to do his work also is part of it. To reach out is evangelism and all those of things. It was everything was what? Drifting. So these three things, that's the way how the prophet put it. And he said, because of that, all begin to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become formal. See, a bit formal. And that was what was happening back there to the Ephesians. Their dedication to God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God taught about them. See, the thought of God about us is that we are his children. We are the children of God. See, but what? They begin to be careful about what the world taught of them. See? You begin to listen to what the world says about you. As for these people, especially our sisters, do you know these people, they don't even put on makeups and all those of things, and then you are begin to what? Be careful about what they are saying about you. See, they don't even wear trousers. See, this is how the world is going. They are not part of it. And you begin to feel somehow that you have become some inferior person. No, sir. Just remember that you are a son of God. What God thinks about you is more important than what the world is saying about you. Praise the Lord. See. He said, the church, when it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do, see, and start doing the things they wouldn't do initially. See, they change their manner of dress, their attitudes, their behavior, they get lax. And that is what Ephesus means, relaxed, drifting, see. And then let us not forget what he said about the cycle of revival and death. See, that also. So they go to church, they even shout and rejoice and sing and have a great emotional time. But when it is all over, watch and see if they are in that word, walking in it and living in it. See, so every Sunday we come here, get really fired up. But before the week ends, everything is gone. Because no meditation, no prayer, no studies. See, so you come back again empty. So it becomes a cycle. You are revived, and then you die. You come, you are revived, and you die. Let's watch that. So that was just, let's keep these things. Praise the Lord. Let's watch ourselves against these things. Praise God. So now let's see what we have today. So now, but thou hast, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. See, the last place where we ended, I want to read that place. See how it started, this Nicolaitan spirit. See how it started in the early church. It was called deeds. Deeds. They were doing some things in the church, see. Then it became a doctrine. And it became the standard. And it became the unbending way. That means you cannot change it anymore. It finally took over and God was pushed aside. It started so small, so quietly, so unoffensive. It looked so good. It seemed so sound. Let's watch things. If it is not according to the word, please, let's just stop it. Then it caught a hold like a python. It squeezed out the very breath and killed all the spirituality there was in the church. Oh, that false vine is subtle. See, that same word right in the beginning. That false vine is subtle. It is like an angel of light until it gets a hold of you. See, it comes as an angel of light. See. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it is not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe also that God has sent men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit. See, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge. See. But that rule is by the word. So that it is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God, for the Word and the Spirit, they are one. Amen. So now we come to the beginning of this week, and we are looking at what he said here. He said, all right, now, what was the spiritual climate of that church? We know the spiritual climate of the church in this our day, in this age, is lukewarm. That is the spiritual climate of the church in this our day. It is what? Lukewarm. It is neither hot nor cold. See? That's Laodicea. But we have come out of it. But the Spirit will not leave us. It will try to what? To infiltrate. See? Because that's what is for this age. It had left its first love, leaving its first love of the Word of God, was revealed to us as having fallen from its origin. You leave the first love, leaving the first love, that means they have fallen from its what? Its origin, which was Pentecost. See, no more fervency, no more passion, no more reaching out. See, it has become what? Formal. In plain English, that means this church was in danger of being taken away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Spirit. This was exactly what took place after Moses led Israel out of Egypt. The same thing. See? The will of God was to lead them by the cloud of fire, prophetic utterances, miracles and signs and God-given wonders. That's what God planned for the people when they left what? Israel. They left Egypt. This was to be accomplished by God selected and God ordained and God equipped and God sent men to take charge, to keep them right from Egypt to the promised land. See, with the whole camp, I always love this. When it comes to that, with the whole camp being dominated by the Holy Ghost move. Oh, praise the Lord. The whole camp, that's what, if they had followed the Lord's ways, as he said, that's what the prophet said, the will of God, the whole camp would have been what? Dominated by the Holy Ghost move. Praise the Lord. So let us go the will of God to see that this whole house here is being dominated by the Holy Ghost move. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Wonderful. It will be so wonderful. Amen. But what happened? These men, as Nicolaitan spirit, listen carefully. They wanted preeminence. See? They wanted preeminence. Wanted to everybody see, everybody wants to be known, so they took over control, and bishops became archbishops and with imposing titles. See, now they are what, putting big titles upon themselves. That was the beginning of the apostolic succession. See? You grow through the ranks, till you reach a place, you wait for being promoted to be the highest. So you start like a local pastor. Then they promote you to district senior pastor. And then later you become regional bishop. Then you become national archbishop. Then you become a cardinal. Then you are in the wing waiting for what? Praise the Lord. You'll be in the wings waiting for the big one. See, that's the way how. So that's how the Nicolaitan spirit, that's the way how it has led the church now to that stage. That it has been what? That kind of man promoting man. Sure. But not God. But we believe in God called men. Amen. See. And then with the word coming through the fivefold ministry. See. That's the word of God. If you are called a teacher, you are a teacher. If you are called a pastor, you are a pastor. If you are called evangelist, you are evangelist. There's no kind, there's nothing like a promotion. Promoted to, no sir. Where you are called, that's where you are. Amen. He said, here is another sad story. Let's look at it. Another sad story is this. It is the story of water baptism. In Jesus' day and after Pentecost, they were immersed in water. No one can deny that. But educated men say that all they did was pour water on them because it was easy to find little holes of water in many places. You see the excuse? See? That is just a question of finding water and pour upon the person. That's easy because you can get water everywhere. Not, you can't get a pool somewhere to immerse someone. So just find water and pour upon that person. And when they pour water on them, they do it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, as if those titles were real names. See? And if they were three gods, they think it were three gods instead of just one. But stay in that organization and try to preach the truth of immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be put out. You will be put out. See, you couldn't be led of God and stay in there. You can't be a Christian and stay in any organization. No, sir. When we are talking about Christian, you see, everybody takes that title, I'm a Christian. But a Christian is a Christian. Christ-like. See. And a Christian, he said, cannot stay in that organization. He said, no, it's impossible. That's what the pastor the proverb is saying. It's impossible. He said, the proverb referred to Paul. He said, now Paul was a prophet taught by the Holy Ghost. If Paul baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said anyone that did different from this preaching was accursed. That's what the word says. Amen. Then it's time to wake up and see that the church is no longer controlled by the Holy Ghost, but is being controlled by the Nicolaitans. See. Brother, we must always be thankful to the Lord. Amen. Really thankful what he has done for us. Amen. Amen. See. It is complete, total blindness. See. But now, he has opened our eyes. Then the prophet quoted Acts 20, 27 to 30. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. See? Amongst you there will be what? People also that will rise up and then with some sugar-coated mouths and then try to draw people away, breaking churches. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Let me quickly read this one, this last 5 minutes that is left here. Let's just jump a little here. He said, where are we spiritually? We are in the wilderness of darkness. How far? We have wandered from the first church, Pentecost. Pentecost is nowhere in view in the word, and the word cannot be found. That's where we are now. The prophet said, we are in the wilderness of darkness. The church, that's where the church is now. In the wilderness of darkness. He said, how far? They have wandered away from the first church. Pentecost is no more, nowhere. And the word cannot be found in those places, you see. Apostolic succession, which today abounds, is not found in the word. Promotion of ministers from this to that, I said, is not in the word. It is a man-made device. It supersedes illegally the truth that God, not man, has set his leadership in the church. That's what is happening now. You see. Now listen to this place. So Peter was not even in Rome. But you know they made Peter the first vicar. Huh? But he said Peter was not even in Rome. Yet they lie and say he was. History proves he was not. And there are people who read this history. Amen? But shrug off their shoulders and go back, believing the lie. You can't understand it. You have read it that it's never true that Peter had ever been in Rome. Then still you go there, they tell you Peter was in Rome, and you believe it. See. Building, because they said Jesus built his church upon Peter. And one interesting thing is that when we went to the Holy Land, we went to Capernaum, the ruins of Capernaum, and the synagogue is there. And just a little meters away was also a foundation that is broken. You see that it has been, archaeologists have dug that place, which was believed to be Peter's home, the synagogue of Capernaum, and just some distance away, you see Peter's house also, where it's in ruins. And you know what? They've built a very beautiful church upon the foundation of the ruins of Peter's house. You see? They are still holding on to that. The church has been built upon what? Peter. That place is being controlled by, I think, I don't know the kind of religious people that control that place. But you see, they are still believing that Christ built his church upon Peter. So the ruins of Peter's house, they built a suspended church upon it. Beautiful church. We entered in and we sat down for a while. Amen. You see? A very nice church. How can God build his church upon a man? See? As the pastor has been saying all the time, an unstable person like Peter. Until the Holy Ghost came, he was really today like this, tomorrow like this. When you read the scripture, you see that day when, the very day he had the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Just read a little down. That was where Jesus was talking about his death. They said, no way, you are not going to die. You see? And then Jesus had to tell him, get behind me, Satan. Look at the unstable person like that. And then we build a church upon him. No, the church is built upon the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. How many believe that? Amen. We thank the Lord for this morning. So, brethren, let us not forget the first love, what actually it means. The fervent desire to please God. Let us have that fervency in us all the time. It's a fire. It is a fire burning in you. And then the passion to know his word. Let us not always wait until we come to church before we hear the pastor preach and then we are energized. And then within the week, everything gone, we come back, the cycle of war, revival and death. Let's watch that. And then the cry for reaching out. Praise the Lord. If you can go and do evangelism and the way how brethren are traveling long distances and doing the work of God in this house, God richly bless you. And brethren who are in those places, God richly bless you for the work that you are doing. See, that is the reaching out to the children of God. Praise the Lord. God richly bless you for those brethren who are doing that. Not that, well, not everybody can do that, but your very life, the scripture says it. It's an epistle. Your own area where you are living, your life will be what? Teaching some. You don't know what people are learning from you. You may not know, but the people are what? Learning something from you. See, they even look at your children. Praise the Lord. And begin to also try to straighten their children that same way. You see, so we are epistle being read of all men. God richly bless you. Let's bow down our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We've come to your house, Lord. Father, we want to really worship you and praise you now with the whole of our hearts, O God. So, Father, we want to commit a song leader into your hands as he comes, and the musicians, our instruments, our voices, our hands, everything, Lord, we want to put them before your altar of grace, that, Lord Jesus, we sing praises and honor to thy name, O God. So, Lord Jesus, accept our worship this morning. We ask all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God richly bless you, brethren.